Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Chittletow from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Switzerland is Alicia Grenville. Alicia is Head of Group Compliance at Earlycon Group. And we're going to be talking about the new European Corporate Sanctions Act. Now, first of all, Alicia, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, Adam, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, first of all, what is the Corporate Sanctions Act, also known as the CSA? It's probably good if you gave a little bit of information of background on it for people who are less familiar.
Absolutely, certainly. But maybe I should just preface it to say that this is German. So it's German legislation that has not been ratified yet by the Bundesrat, so the parliament in Germany, but it should be ratified sometime during this fall session. So the CSA, which will be known as the Corporate Sanctions Act, will address criminal conduct of companies regarding executive bodies, managers, and employees acting on behalf of the company. So this is what's coming down the pipe, actually, at this point in time. And I guess I'll just jump in there and tell you that it's quite controversial. There's a lot of controversy around this major shift in jurisprudence in Germany, because for centuries it has been argued, you know, within the German scholarly spheres that only individuals have had the capacity to act and can have criminal liability or responsibility, and therefore could be punishable. Here we see a reversal of that thought process, whereby legal persons, meaning legally created persons like corporations and associations, et cetera, are now going to be able to be fined or sanctioned and to be held criminally liable.
Well, yeah, that would be quite the major shift. I mean, it's something that we're familiar with in the US, but in Germany, obviously, that's quite a huge change.
I agree totally. And this is why there's been so much pushback, Adam, because for centuries, you know, there has been this ideological, you know, argument about individuals having the capacity to act and being and having the ability to be criminally responsible and i.e. therefore punishable. But legally created persons like corporations, associations, et cetera, and so forth, could not be fined or sanctioned and therefore could not be held criminally liable. So, you know, for an Anglo-Saxon, you know, practitioner like me, you know, this sort of boggles the mind, but because I see a legal person as being a corporation or an individual and therefore can be held criminally liable.
Yeah, well, it's quite a change, but then again, we've seen a lot of changes lately and approaches to things, you know, such as privacy, and it's probably sort of a natural extension of it. So now, what are some of the key elements of the legislation, and what about sanctions in particular?
Okay, well, notably, the principle of the criminal responsibility of this corporate act will permit criminal prosecution and conviction within a corporate entity under two circumstances. So I'll just name the two, whereby directors or officers commit corporate crimes. That is, you know, one of the elements. And the other one would be where the entity did not take the responsible precautions to prevent employees or agents from engaging in criminal wrongdoing within the scope of their employment or agency. And therefore, we're now looking at much more serious sanctions that will follow suit. In the past, you know, there were caps on sanctions, and some believed, you know, in the criminal atmosphere that, you know, either for a huge company that would be too small of a fine, but for a, you know, medium to small type company, the fines would be too big. So we're now looking at 10% of worldwide annual sales for companies having sales exceeding over 100 million euro, for example. And then for multiple offenses, fines can be up to 20% of the last 3 years' annual sales, et cetera, and so forth, to the point where even the dissolution of the company could be the outcome as, you know, as part of the determined sanctions.
Wow, that's rather substantial. So how would this affect compliance programs in multinational companies?
Well, I'm just going to go by the companies that I'm very familiar with and, you know, the folks in our realm and the people who I know. I think multinational companies are very well positioned to deal with what's coming down the pipe from a legislative point of view here in Germany, because they've already adopted, you know, a very Anglo-Saxon approach to the compliance framework, right? Where I believe there's going to be a huge shift, and where we're going to see, you know, a rise in the development of compliance programs are basically in what in Germany we call the Mittelstand companies. These are, you know, small to medium sized companies and family owned businesses, because they're going to have to be able to show that they have some sort of a robust or activist compliance program. And this is going to be part of what the, I wanted to say DOJ, but of course it's the Ministry of Justice, so it's the MOJ in Germany, will take into consideration when they're looking at, you know, sentencing and fining / sanctioning a company. So having a compliance program will now be necessary.
Okay, who in terms of organizations is affected by this legislation, and what do compliance officers have to do to prepare for it?
Well, this is going to go straight across the corporate landscape within Germany. And now it even, you know, as this legislation will have extraterritorial reach, it also means that German prosecutors will not be able to determine, you know, which investigations they will actually be able to pursue or not pursue, because they will be obliged to pursue all investigations that come in, you know, within the worldwide group of the company. So let's take an example. Oerlikon, for example, has a German subsidiary as well as a Chinese subsidiary. If there is, you know, a wrongdoing in this Chinese subsidiary, the German subsidiary would be obliged, if an investigation were to be launched, to actually take up that investigation. And that has never been the truth up until this point. So the power that the prosecutor, the German prosecutor, would have or has had over the years is now, you know, is no longer his or hers to hold. So this, again, like I said, really widens the berth of, you know, investigations within the corporate entity of a multinational company with a German entity or holding.
Well, that's likely to have just enormous amounts of impact. So how's Oerlikon preparing for this new legislation?
That's a great question, Adam. So I am now working on basically landscaping the compliance, you know, framework for the entire company as we go across the many jurisdictions. So I've taken this opportunity, as we will more than likely see this legislation pass in Germany, to look from an overarching point of view at what the landscape of compliance is going to look like, excuse me, from 2021 and beyond. And in doing so, mapping out some of the compliance risk and exposures that we see within our industry and how that is going to affect Oerlikon going forward. Besides the fact that, you know, we're also going to look at beefing up our compliance visibility within our German entity and ensure that we have, you know, the necessary and proper resources to be able to mitigate against, you know, any influx of investigations that we may see coming through this new sanctions act.
Well, there's certainly going to be a lot that needs to be done. And I want to thank you for alerting us to this legislation and giving me and everyone a good reminder that it's not just EU laws that have to be watched, but individual country laws as well. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.